Carl's throne speech coming up, what to expect, and what does it signal about how Mark Carney will govern.
The Ben Mulrooney Show, noon to 2, weekday afternoons on QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua ZZ. Russia and Ukraine have swapped more prisoners hours after a massive attack on Kyiv.
Russia and Ukraine exchanged hundreds more prisoners Saturday. It's part of a major swap that amounted to a moment of cooperation and otherwise failed efforts to reach a ceasefire. Both countries say each side brought home 307 more soldiers. This comes a day after each released a total of 390 combatants and civilians. The development also coming after Ukraine's capital came under a large-scale Russian drone and missile attack that left at least 15 people injured, according to local officials. Explosions and anti-aircraft fire were heard throughout Kyiv as many sought shelter in subway stations. I'm Julie Walker.
Israel is being accused of forcing Palestinians to act as human shields in Gaza and the West Bank.
Palestinians say that they are being used by Israeli soldiers as human shields. Right here behind me in the Jenin refugee camp is a place where Palestinians have said that they have been used by Israeli soldiers. They have said that they have had to go ahead of the soldiers into apartments. One woman went into at least six different apartments carrying a drone that the soldiers gave her with a camera on it to make sure that it was all clear before the soldiers went in after her. Now, this is happening in the West Bank, but it's also happening in Gaza. Soldiers we've spoken to who have engaged in the practice have said that they are sending humans in, sometimes instead of drones or dogs. Now, Israel's army denies that this happens. They said that this is not in accordance with practice with the army. But Palestinians we've spoken to, as well as soldiers, say that it is much more widespread than what is being led on, and that this has increased greatly as the war has gone on that began on October 7th.
A man has been found guilty of murder and two counts of attempted murder in the 2023 shooting of three Ontario provincial police officers. Sergeant Eric Mueller was killed and two other officers were injured after being called to do a wellness check at Alain Bellefoy's home in May of 2023. Bellefoy now faces a life sentence for first-degree murder with no chance of parole for 25 years and 20-year sentences for each count of attempted murder to be served concurrently. King Charles is set to follow in his mother's footsteps on Tuesday.
The king will open a new session of Parliament on Tuesday, 68 years after his mother, the late Queen Elizabeth. The Queen came to Ottawa in 1957 and not only opened the initial session of Parliament, but also made her first televised address, a personal speech to Canadians.
As you may know, it will be the first time that the Canadian Parliament has been opened by the sovereign in person. And I'm very much looking forward to performing this duty.
Coverage of the royals dominated the front pages, overshadowing former Secretary of State for External Affairs Lester Pearson's Nobel Prize and the recently launched Soviet satellite Sputnik. David Augustine, The Canadian Press.
Jafar Panahi has won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival for his revenge thriller, It Was Just an Accident. Reporter Chuck Sievertson says the Iranian filmmaker is a longtime political dissident who was imprisoned by the Islamic Republic several times.
Even being banned from leaving Iran for 15 years didn't stop him from making movies. In 2011, he made This Is Not a Film on an iPhone in his living room. In 2015, Taxi was clandestinely shot almost entirely within a car. He says though the risk is now probably higher, he is going back to Iran.
It Was Just an Accident tells the story of a group of former prisoners who encounter a man who terrorized them in jail. From the Global News Desk, I'm Joshua Azizi.
Live across Canada, this is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Well, great to have you here. Thanks for tuning in. Stop me if you've heard this one before or it all sounds very familiar. Canada Post workers have issued a strike notice to start on Friday, May 23rd at 12 a.m. local time. Now, it sounds familiar because they went out on strike in November and December for about 32 days. Part of the problem here is that it's essentially an unsolvable problem. You have a union representing workers, a ton of workers, who are protected by agreements, things that have been discussed and agreed to in the past, and they're trying to protect those workers. Meanwhile, you have a Canada Post that's essentially bankrupt, insolvent. It's bleeding money. The business model no longer works. So what do you do, right? They want to reform. Essentially, what they want to do is lay off a ton of people. And the union's saying, well, of course not. You can't do that. So there are no easy answers here. By the way, again, that strike that took place back in November and December, this would mark, if they go it again on Friday, this would be the second time in just under 6 months that Postal Service ground to a halt. 55,000 employees. Now, in the event of another national labor disruption, mail and parcels will not be delivered, and no new items would be accepted until the disruption is over.
Under the current collective agreement, mail carriers have to be paid overtime for shifts on Saturdays, on Sundays. Canada Post has been pushing for a contingent of part-time workers to be deployed in response to demand, kind of a dynamic deployment, and that would include weekends.
Yeah, that's Canadian Press business reporter Chris Reynolds there. Any mail or parcels currently in the network would be secured and delivered once operations begin. Other things, such as Social Security and so on, would continue to be delivered. Now, it would still affect millions of residents and businesses who still receive more than 2 billion letters and roughly 300 million parcels a year via Canada Post. And again, as Chris Reynolds points out, a lot of us would feel this.
A lot of shippers could be turned away from Canada Post after already fleeing over the past 5 years or so toward alternative couriers from Amazon to very small upstart companies.
Yeah, so what do we do here? Because clearly the status quo isn't working for Canada Post. You know, taxpayers can't continue to pour billions of dollars into this Crown Corporation if it's no longer able to do what it was set up to do, which is essentially deliver mail, right? The business model is broken. And if you work in journalism or in broadcasting or any number of things, you understand what happens when the business model breaks. It's very difficult to maintain the sort of staffing levels you once had. At the same time, you know, Canada Post is vital for certain areas, especially more remote areas in this country where there is no other way to get the things that they absolutely need delivered to the door. So where to from here? Ian Lee is an associate professor in the Sprott School of Business at Carleton University. He's a person we always call on because he spent decades studying Canada Post. So he knows this file inside and out. Ian, thanks for your time. Welcome back.
My pleasure, Ben. Always my pleasure.
I know we always end up calling you when something's happening at Canada Post, but this one feels, I mean, some of the other, the last strike action felt unnecessary, and this one feels even more so.
You're right. I mean, they never resolved the issues in the last strike. What had happened was it got kicked down the road. The government stepped in and said, okay, we're going to extend the collective agreement till May 22. And then we're going to appoint a conciliator or arbitrator, well, Mr. Kaplan, to investigate. So they never did address the issues at bar in the November-December strike. I mean, they get the worst of all possible worlds. They alienated those customers, a good number of those customers that were still customers of Canada Post. And I'm sure they've lost some of them and they're not coming back. And they didn't resolve the issues they needed or wanted to resolve. But the government, it wasn't Canada Post's decision or CUPW's decision to kick it down the road. That was the government. They wanted it out of the news. There were people screaming at them, small businesses and rural and remote communities. And so they just wanted, and they were in the middle of their leadership and Parliament was in recess. And they didn't want to legislate them back to work because that's not part of their value proposition of the Liberals. So they went for the, okay, let's kick the problem down the road at least for 90 days and then we'll address it then. So the problem has come back.
And yeah, with a vengeance. I mean, because as you pointed out, the big problem here is the business model doesn't work and there is no compromise to be had. The union wants to protect its union jobs, and that's what they're there for. The company wants more flexibility, which is, it feels like they're sort of, they keep driving off in different directions.
Yeah, and they are going off. You're absolutely right. Strategically, this isn't, I'm not saying that there is, they're cuddly with each other, but it's not a question of bad faith or good faith. The visions on on the table of the two parties, you couldn't be more diametrically opposed. One's going north and one's going south. There's a 180-degree direction. They're not, you know, out by 10 degrees and we can sort of square in the middle, compromise and saw it off and come up with a deal. Canada Post says, we are going to die if we don't restructure, which is code for talk for fundamental, serious downsizing, thousands and thousands of workers. And GovW said, we are completely opposed to any restructuring. They've said so. And we are not going to give back benefits or rights that we've negotiated successfully in past collective agreements. Well, as the arbitrator, or Mr. Kaplan, said, there is, and I've said for the last 6 months, there is no common ground between the two. And so that's why I believe it has to, well, it will only be resolved if it is a bill tabled in Parliament, and I'm not predicting that will be the case, because the government is facing two extremely ugly choices. There are no good choices here. I mean, there aren't even two lukewarm choices here. You know, they are really ugly. Why are they really ugly? Because one involves the perpetual subsidization and bailout month after month or year after year of Canada Post, which is GovW, I believe. We'll talk more about that. But I believe that is their position. They're saying no restructuring. We want this treated. They've said so publicly as a public utility, and the government just carries the losses as part of the cost of running the government.
Big losses, though. Before we, I mean, just yes. So listeners understand, these are, you know, billions. This is in the billions, yes. Right?
Yes, and the losses are getting bigger year by year because GovW seems to suggest, I'm not picking on them. I'm unionized, by the way, at Carleton University. I have been for 38 years. I'm not anti-union. But GovW suggested that while the situation is, well, dire, they didn't even say dire, but they said it was not that great, but at least it's flatlined, stabilized. It hasn't stabilized. The number of letters mailed decline year by year by year, and their market share in parcels, which should be and is the future of Canada Post, if anything was going to be their future, their market share is declining steadily. So in other words, this year the deficit is X, next year it will be bigger, and the year after that it will be yet bigger again. In other words, if the loss is bigger, because they have no resources left, the CFO said in the annual report, we've run out of all our cash reserves. So that means if they don't restructure, the bailout will become bigger year by year because the losses are getting bigger year by year because the declines are continuing to accelerate.
Right. So that's ugly choice number one. Just keep subsidizing it to the tune of billions. What's ugly choice number two?
Ugly choice number two is to introduce a bill that will impose a restructuring on Canada Post. And that will be, first off, from the union's point of view, that's anathema because that involves thousands and thousands of layoffs because, as the CEO said, on the record, as did the CFO, the post office is structured to deliver 5.5 billion letters. We're only delivering 2 billion letters annually and declining. And the current post office is not sustainable with that much lower level of demand. That's code for saying we got to lay off thousands and thousands of workers.
Right.
But from the government's point of view, because remember, the government's got to make this decision. And I'm talking Prime Minister Carney to put names on it. And the Minister of Finance, because he has the pen to print the money or to provide the money, mm-hmm. You're talking billions of dollars in. You just can't throw people out the door and say, go away. You've got to give them compensation. You've got to give them severance. Mm-hmm. And in the downsizing of the Harper, the first one was Chrétien in 1995, they spent billions and billions on the compensation and severance. They announced 75,000 layoffs. They ultimately ended up laying off 52,000 rather than 75,000 because of job swaps and so forth. But it ran into the multiple billions. So from the government's point of view, it's going to cost billions and billions and billions of dollars up front. And they're going to have incredibly angry thousands and thousands of postal workers, and you can bet the other unions are going to be work in solidarity in expressing their support if such a bill was tabled in Parliament.
Sounds like a bit of an early challenge for the new government.
It's going to, you know, Mr. Carney said over and over, we are going to take, and I'm not mocking him, he said, we are going to take the tough decisions that are really needed to address the problems facing Canada. Well, beware of what you wish for, because this is going to come sooner, I think, than the other tough decision. In fact, it's coming. It's coming this Friday. They have to make a decision. Are we going to, and by the way, neither of them are risk-free. It may seem, you know, okay, we'll kick the problem down the road and subsidize. But then the opposition and business are going to say, this is not a solution to the post office. This is chaos, and it's very expensive chaos. All you're doing is subsidizing no decision, subsidizing no reform and restructuring, and that's not a solution. So they're going to get attacked from all sides, whether they go, I call it A or B. I think they're going to, just very quickly, Ben, I think they're going to go with sort of a modified C, which is, you know, the old, and they've done this so many times with the post office in the last 30 years, we're going to appoint a blue ribbon panel to determine what the real problems are and come back to us with hard solutions. And by the way, we're going to give them 2 years to do that. And right. So, hey, kick the problem down the road for 2 years.
Kick it down the road another 2 years. As always, Ian, thank you.
Listen, thank you very much, Ben. It was a real pleasure speaking to you.
Ian Lee, associate professor in the Sprott School of Business at Carleton University. I mean, here's the problem with Canada Post, right, is that if the business model doesn't work, we can't just keep delaying the reforms that need to be done. And I know people who work at Canada Post. So obviously, I understand the idea for, you know, the ability for those people to replace that income, find that kind of job with those kinds of benefits is not easy. So obviously, heart goes out to all of those who may be impacted by this. But what can you do? You can't just keep pouring money into a business that's essentially where the model is broken. You can't. So it needs to be reformed. I'd be shocked to see a federal government with the courage to actually do this, because some really tough choices have to be made, and they're unpopular, and there's going to be more labor unrest out there. And if you spark it this way, you don't know where it's going to go. But at some point, it's to the benefit of Canada Post in the long run that these reforms be made at some point, that these tough decisions be made. And one of the problems with modern politics is that no one wants to make tough decisions. They love to talk about stuff. They love to shout the odds, but they never actually like to do things that are unpopular for the very simple reason that they're unpopular. You know who is popular? George Wendt. Everybody knew his name when he played Norm on Cheers. He passed today at the age of 76, one of my all-time favorite TV characters, alongside, of course, his buddy Cliff Clavin, who was perhaps the most famous postman to ever be on TV. We're going to pay tribute to George Wendt after this. Don't go away.
The crackle of a morning campfire, the collapsing of the tent, the packing of the car, the gravel under your tires, the quiet of an empty campsite, the gust of wind, the scattering of embers, the roar of a wildfire, feeling of overwhelming regret. 63% of Alberta's wildfires were started by people. Don't be that person. A message from the Government of Alberta.
As our bodies age, they bring some aches and pains that we haven't had before. And isn't that awesome? Hi, Gord Gillies here for Active Sports Therapy. Their unified team of over 30 expert practitioners have one common goal: to help you truly enjoy all the things you love. Don't suffer through shoulder, hip, or lower back pain. Do something about it with a combination of physiotherapy and sports chiropractic care, including active release techniques, laser, shockwave, acupuncture, and more. All under one roof. Get active about your health and start at activesportstherapy.ca.
A new roof is a critical investment for your home. Do you know the difference between a roof built to last and a roof that underperforms?
Robbie the Roofer from Calgary Elite Roofing.
At Elite Roofing, we want to prove to Calgarians that we are accountable. How do we do that? We give you peace of mind with our superior warranty. We're also proud members of the Better Business Bureau and the Calgary Construction Association. And when you call, we're there for you, even evenings and weekends.
Want accountability built into your new roof? Then you want Robbie the Roofer.
Get a quote started today at calgaryeliteroofing.ca.
Dealing with complex medical needs doesn't mean things need to be complicated, and you don't need to go to just another pharmacy, because you just found a pharmacy like no other. Introducing Curis, where caring to answer the phone, caring to understand your needs, and caring for you is their top priority. And with 4 Curis pharmacy locations across Calgary and growing, now's the perfect time to switch. C-U-R-I-S, Curis, a pharmacy like no other. Find a location near you at curispharmacy.ca.
Kids Up Front presents thank you letters from the kids themselves.
Dear Kids Up Front, thank you for the tickets for the play. I love fairy tales. My favorite part was with Red Riding Hood and the wolf. I watched the movie next day too.
Help make a core memory today by donating your tickets, money, or time. Visit kidsupfrontcalgary.com.
More than a ticket.
As a business owner, keeping your workspace clean shouldn't be another thing on your to-do list. Leave it to the pros who know clean. At White Spot Janitorial, we provide top-quality janitorial services tailored to your needs. White Spot Janitorial has an amazing offer to new clients. When you sign up for our regular cleaning service, you'll receive a 20% discount on your first month. But hurry, offer is valid until June 30th. Visit whitespotjanitorial.com. White Spot Janitorial. Service is our mission. Clean is our statement.
When you want to hear the music and not the road, drive on to Wright Restyling. They can upgrade your drive with SoundShield so you can take your ride from this to this. Whether you want to improve the way you listen to music or just sweet silence, their sound deadening install can help block out road noise, vibrations, and rattles. So all you hear is what you want. Make your auto dreams into reality. Don't make Wright Restyling your first call. Make them your only call. Get your quote today at WrightRestyling.com.
Hi, I'm Donna Friesen from Global National. Life moves fast these days, and we want to make it even easier for you to get the news you need. That's why you can now get Global National every day as a podcast. The biggest stories of the day with analysis from award-winning global news journalists. New episodes drop every day, so take this as your personal invitation to join us on the Global National podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail.
This is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Yeah, I loved Cheers. Thursday nights with my dad, we used to sit in front of the TV and watch Cheers every week, and it was such a great show, such appointment viewing. And of course, the characters that I love the most were Norm and Cliff, the buddies, you know, the guy who was always at the bar, and of course, the guy who always talked too much. I can identify at some point. I mean, later in life, you can sort of start to identify. Everyone knows a Norm and everyone knows a Cliff. But the actor who played Norm, George Wendt, passed away at the age of 76 today. Believe it or not, it was 32 years ago today, on May 20th, 1993, that the final episode of Cheers aired. Norm was in it, of course. 80.4 million people watched. Here's a look back at Wendt's incredible career.
Afternoon, everybody. No!
Beloved Cheers actor and comedian George Wendt has died at 76. His family confirmed the news. He died peacefully in his sleep at his home this morning. His rep telling ET, George was a doting family man, a well-loved friend and confidant to all of those lucky enough to have known him. He will be missed forever. George was last spotted out in January, leaving a medical center with his wife Bernadette, wearing a mask and being pushed in a wheelchair. Earlier that month, he attended an Emmy party with his nephew Jason Sudeikis.
I think what it really boils down to, it's not really that hard.
George played lovable accountant Norm Peterson for all 11 seasons of Cheers. He earned 6 consecutive Emmy nominations.
The character of Norm seems to be almost a folk hero. We instinctively love him. How much of you is in Norm?
Well, there's not a great deal of like real acting involved or anything, so pretty much it's pretty much me, except for Norm has much better writers than I do.
Yes, let's not forget the traditional 21 peanut salute. Oh, no.
Comedy, I think, you know, should be believable. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to do comedy, but the style in Cheers seems to be believability. Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I've ever played George Wendt as himself. I feel like I should have like a little, you know, and George Wendt as himself.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to separate the two. He, you know, obviously everyone knew him as Norm, and he went on to have a career afterwards. He did a lot in theater. I didn't know this, but he'd begun his career. He's from Chicago. He'd begun with the renowned Second City improv troupe that turned out so many great comedians over the years. And he didn't have much hope when he went in to audition for the role of Norm. His agent said it's a small role, and he only said one word, beer. And, you know, all of a sudden, the people casting him said, hey, why don't you read for this other role? And it was the guy who never left the bar. He said this to GQ in an oral history of Cheers. And again, I mean, 32 years to the day since that final episode back in 1993. After Cheers came to an end, he went on to star in a pretty short-lived sitcom called The George Wendt Show. And then he was in TV shows like The Ghost Whisperer, Harry's Law, Portlandia, and amongst others. He was on Saturday Night Live famously in that Da Bears skit. He competed on The Masked Singer in 2023, but he also did a lot of work in theater, which was really cool. He was in Hairspray beginning in 2006. He was in the Tony Award-winning play Art in New York and in London. He was on the national tour of 12 Angry Men. He was in a production of David Mamet's Lake Boat and also starred in regional productions of Death of a Salesman, The Odd Couple, Never Too Late, and Funny Man. So he had a really great career afterwards, even though it wasn't as, you know, sort of in the public eye as that role as Norm Peterson had been. So we'll leave you now with, I'll be back after this. Obviously, we're not going anywhere. But I thought we'd share with you some of the best of Norm, especially that entry into Cheers when everyone knew his name. Have a listen.
My nipples, it's freezing out there. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Doc.
Norman?
What's the story, Norm? Thirsty guy walks into a bar. You finish it. Afternoon, everybody.
No!
Norm!
Norman?
What's up to, Norm?
My ears.
Evening, everybody.
Norman?
What's new, Norm?
Most of my wife. Evening, everybody.
Norman?
Beer on?
Yeah, I'd probably just drink it. Evening, everybody.
Norman?
What's going on?
Well, science is seeking a cure for thirst. I happen to be the guinea pig. Evening, everybody.
Vietnam?
That's that sudsy amber stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things about it. Afternoon, everybody?
No! What can I do for you, Norm?
Well, I am going to need something to kill time before my second beer. How about a first one?
You got it.
Any sports fans?
What'll it be, Norm?
Fame, fortune, fast women.
Yeah. How about a beer?
Even better.
Yeah, I mean, that was at an age before I'd even had a beer, and his character was such an integral part of that show. I always remember one of his most famous lines was, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. That one always sat with me. So George Wendt passed away at the age of 76, peacefully in his sleep, according to his family, on the 30th anniversary of the final episode of Cheers back in 1993, on May the 20th, 1993, watched by 80.4 million people. I think that's the seventh most watched non-sports event of all time and the second most watched sitcom finale ever after MASH. And of course, Norm, George Wendt was such a huge part of that. So it kind of feels like a lot of us kind of lost a buddy today in George Wendt's passing. When we return, we're going to meet the daughter and father team from Orangeville who just won a huge contest using their wits and their skills. That's coming up.
Summertime is here again.
Purchase your 2025 Callaway Park season pass today. Just $69.95 plus GST per pass for a whole season of fun. That's a savings of 53%. Only until May 20th at your local Calgary Co-op or online at callawaypark.com. Enjoy unlimited rides, live entertainment, seafood spray and play, and so much more. Callaway Park, your family playcation destination.
Callaway Park for everyone.
Gord Gillies here with Debbie Franchuk, RN and co-owner of Home Instead. Debbie, you provide a wide range of support services to help keep seniors living in their homes longer. How do you make sure there's a good match?
Well, Gord, it starts with our hiring. We're very fussy with our hires. We only hire about 1% to 2% of the applicants that actually apply to us.
Are families involved in finding the right person for their loved one?
Absolutely. We collaborate with the families to understand their loved one's hobbies, interests, maybe their meal preferences. That
That matching is the magic.
Deb, what do you say to families who may feel guilty about the need to bring in care?
Oh, please don't feel guilty. You're doing the right thing. You're helping your loved ones so that they can live with dignity and respect right where they want to remain, in their own home.
When your elderly loved one needs more care, choose Home Instead as your care partner. Home Instead provides highly personalized home care for the loved ones in your life, wherever they call home. Visit homeinsteadcalgary.com.
Toast to Stampede season at Stampede Cellar Uncorked, featuring the champion wines from the Stampede Cellar Showdown International Wine Competition and local culinary offerings from Alberta's top restaurants. Stampede Cellar Uncorked has something to suit every palate and preference, from bold reds to crisp whites and more. Join us May 31st to sip, swirl, and savor wines and vote for best bites of the night. For more information and tickets, visit calgarystampede.com/uncorked.
Rock chip? Give it the kiss of death. Cal Alta Auto Glass will repair that rock chip same day, and they'll treat you like family. But what if you need a new windshield? Come on. Cal Alta, it's clear. They're going to treat you with respect. You see, they win Consumer Choice Awards every year. You know it's true because you heard it from me, the Glass Father. And I go through a lot of windshields.
Cal Alta Auto Glass.
The class of auto glass.
Running a small business is tough, now more than ever. Every marketing dollar has to work harder. That's why Canadian businesses trust Constant Contact. With email, events, and social tools, you can reach more customers, drive sales, and see real results. On average, every dollar spent on email marketing returns $36. That's ROI you can count on. Even in challenging times, our all-in-one marketing platform helps businesses grow. See for yourself. Start for free today at constantcontact.ca.
Hi, I'm Scott Reeb of Cupboards Express. Our fine quality may seem old-timey, but our style is not. Keeping up with the best of Milan, New York, and Japan, we manufacture over 2,000 door styles right here in Alberta, from timeless classics to the most on-trend fashions. Don't see what you want? We could probably make it. Check out our new Real Slim Shaker Door, a real standout.
A real standout.
Keeping right up to date since 1958. Cupboards Express.
Let's go, girls.
QR Calgary welcomes Shania Twain to the Calgary Stampede on Saturday, July 5th.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Tickets are on sale now, but QR Calgary has your shot at scoring your way there.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
Listen to Morning Brew with Andrew or enter at QRCalgary.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shania this Calgary Stampede.
At the end of the day, it's engaging talk that matters. You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Hi, I'm Graham. This is my daughter, Holly, and we're from Orangeville, Ontario.
Our design style is a bit of a mix of traditional and modern. Just trying to keep it fresh, but still feel like something you're really familiar with.
Yeah, Graham and Holly, I always wonder when I watch competitions on TV, such as cooking shows or races around the world or renovation competitions, for instance, how do people decide to take that leap and put it all on the line for the cameras and obviously a big audience? So you're being judged, right? Especially if it's something like your cooking skills or your renovation skills, and especially if that's the line of business you're in. Now, of course, I assume you have more confidence than I would in either my cooking skills or my renovation skills, which I would never put to the test in some kind of contest like that. But I was asking myself the same question over the long weekend as I caught the finale of season 2 of Renovation Resort on Corus's Home Network. Now, you may be familiar with the concept, but if not, 4 teams of 2 compete over 8 weeks to complete a reno of a vacation property. Or in this case, they basically started with a blank slate. These were dirt lots. They put up the houses and they essentially, their task was to completely design the interiors and the exteriors of these places and turn them into alluring vacation homes. Now, all 4 teams did a really good job. It's hosted by 2 home stars, Scott McGillivray and Brian Ballmer, who you probably know. And the teams that went head-to-head included a couple from Philadelphia, a couple from Toronto, Montreal, another couple, 2 women actually, from North Carolina, and this father-daughter duo of Holly and Graham Laird, who are from Orangeville, as was mentioned. And when the sawdust settled, when the sawdust settled, and it was very close. You couldn't tell from the get-go who was going to win this competition because all four houses were so different, and they all did a really good job. At least, you know, in my mind, every time I watch people turn blank spaces into living spaces, I'm always impressed because I don't have much in the way of home decor skills. But with it, $100,000, bragging rights, all of it, to, believe it or not, the father and the daughter and father duo. Have a listen to the reveal of who had won.
So this is it. The moment we've all been working hard and waiting for. The team with the best vacation home. And taking home the title of Renovation Resort Champion and the $100,000 prize is... Holly Graham. Congratulations, you've won $100,000.
We just won Renovation Resort Season 2.
Wow. You did it. You're a designer.
Now, there's such a cool story behind this, of course, because Holly grew up watching her father work, right, doing renovation and so on, contracting work. She went off to be a designer elsewhere in Toronto, then moved back to join her father in this company, Laird Kitchen and Bath. And not only that, but the design of their home, which had a homestead theme, was inspired by something that her grandmother had made, a rug that her grandmother had made back in the 60s and had hung in her grandmother's home, her late grandmother's home, for years. So there was a lot of family going on behind this victory as well. And Holly and Graham Laird join me now. Thanks both for your time. Congratulations.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, congratulations. I mean, I'll be honest, I was watching, you know, I followed along and I watched the final episode and I thought, I have no idea who's going to win this. And I got the sense that nor did you.
No, we really didn't. The competition was so fierce. Everyone was so talented. We also didn't know what anyone was doing. So you think that you're doing well, but then you hear the judgment at the end of the week and another team wins, you're like, oh my gosh, like what is happening in these other houses?
We're giving our absolute best and we're losing. We lost 2-3 weeks in a row. It's like, what do you have to do to win?
Like, what are we doing wrong?
So, I mean, Holly, I didn't realize, obviously you don't get to see each other's, what's going on inside these houses. Mm-hmm. For listeners to understand, this basically started off as four empty lots and you all, each team had this blank canvas to work on, which were these homes.
Yeah, everyone had the same space. Ours was the reverse layout, but that was the only difference between ours and theirs. But it was amazing to see how everybody interpreted the space. Like, it was so different. And it's one thing, it's funny because when you look at it, to me, like, the way I did it was the way. Like, that's the only way. This is how you're supposed to do it. But then you walk into someone else's home and you're like, wow, like, that was such a creative idea. Or I've never even thought of that. So it's amazing how people have these different perspectives on these incredible spaces.
Well, there was a scene in the final episode where you said, I feel underdressed.
Yeah, in Richard and Jake's, I was like, oh my God, where am I?
Yeah, it looked like a nightclub somewhere or like a house in Paris. I know.
It was incredible.
I mean, Graves, to understand, so listeners, I mean, the two of you do work together, but you've been at this for a really long time, right? Like, I mean, you sort of started this when you were really young. You came to Canada from Scotland at a young age. You've lost the accent, I noticed. you've been here long enough to lose the accent. Yeah. And you learned the old-fashioned way. You were mentored, and then you did it yourself. It's quite the story.
Well, I started out young. My uncle showed me about the flooring business, and it was a great avenue for me as a creative person. He showed me, I learned quick, and I was off. Like, I was off on my own. So I liked the aspect of that beginning, middle, and end, and having a design, maybe not me, but more so like colors and layouts and things like that. I was able to execute these things. And the ability to do that is surprisingly rewarding at any age. You know, we could come full circle to this show, and that same reward, you feel that same reward you know that I started this in the middle, it was a nightmare, and it came through the fruition at the end. All those things, I felt kind of the same when I was 18 or 19 years old and doing flooring for the first time or coming into customers' houses and renovating them. It's funny, that feeling has never gone away.
Yeah, I guess, Holly, you get a real sense of accomplishment. I mean, quote unquote, under the real definition of the term. Whose idea was it to go on a TV show?
Yes,
what do you think?
I would guess, Holly. I would, but I'm just guessing.
You're a great guesser.
Yeah, I saw the casting and I was like, Dad, I think that we're doing this. What do you think about the fact that we are doing this?
Yeah, when she called volunteer.
I volunteered.
She volunteered.
Yeah. Well, I told you because you went off. I mean, you have design experience, but you went off and came back and sort of decided to work with your father. So you've been a team for a while now, but it was something that you set off to do something different first and then kind of return to the family business, which is really interesting.
Yeah, like I've always been around. Well, my dad's been building my whole life, so I've always been around that environment. And then I worked for a developer in Toronto and a couple developers in Toronto and my whole life. So I've always been around that environment. And then I worked for a developer in Toronto and so I've always been around construction in some way or another and always been interested in design. And I just started to study it more and get more involved. And then I had to make a change. So I went to Dad and was like, do you want to start a business with me? Like, could we do this? And he's like, yeah, as long as I can build kitchens. And kind of the rest was history. So it was kind of cool seeing this casting come up, though, because my next thing that I was really hoping to get involved with was a vacation home. And right. Then it was a designer build and a vacation home. And I'm like, OK, we have to do this. We have to try, at least try.
Graham, you've been doing this for a long, long time. What's the difference between doing this normally and doing this for TV? Because I've spent a lot of time in TV over the years. There is a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't see. It all looks very easy once it's edited together. But I mean, clearly doing this in this context must have been a bit of a learning curve as well, even though I'm sure you know your way around all this stuff inside out.
It's very familiar to me. All the work that we did on the show was very familiar. What was not familiar was leaving work that I wasn't happy with and letting it go. That was a true challenge. Even right now, there was a couple of moments on the show that they didn't make the final cut, but I would finish something, walk away, and then about an hour before tools down, I would finally say to myself, I just can't leave it like that. And like Holly could be in the middle of painting something, and I would come in with like a crowbar and say, this has to go. We literally have 1 hour. And I said, it has to go. Like, I can't, because I'm making so many compromises because the time is forcing me to compromise my work, right? It's just, right. There's no other way. And that's the world where the TV show lives, is that push and pull.
The tension of having to do it fast, yeah. Right?
That unfinished work behind was tough.
I guess seeing things not done to perfection can be, especially if you're very technical and like to do this stuff properly, seeing things not exactly done to perfection can be a hard mountain to climb.
Oh, it's very hard, especially given that I am my father's daughter and I am also a perfectionist. So when I see him coming in with a crowbar, I'm like, get that thing away from me. Do not touch anything. It's hard to not have everything at your disposal, right? Like if I have decor items and I don't feel happy with them, like I'm going to go get different ones. I'm going to change it. But in this instance, everything is there. Like, this is it. This is what you're doing. This is how you're using it. And to sometimes be like, oh, like I wish I could have had like a lamp that was like maybe an inch shorter in this, or like a piece of art that's hung or whatever. Right.
Yeah. But see, Holly, you can pivot with a crowbar.
No,
you can, can't pivot with the lamp you chose or the pillows you chose. Can pivot with a crowbar.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to let me anywhere near a crowbar. Holly and Graham Laird are with us this half hour. They are the father-daughter winners of season 2 of Renovation Resort, which you can watch anytime. It's done. The finale was over the weekend. They were announced as the winners amongst 4 teams, 2 from Canada, 2 from the U.S., who spent the better part of 8 weeks essentially transforming a dirt lot into these incredible vacation homes. And each of them ended up very, very different. So it was hard to know who would win. But at the end, the judges decided that Holly and Graham were the competitors that would come out on top. So it's a $100,000 grand prize plus bragging rights. They actually work together outside of this competition as well with Laird Kitchen and Bath. They're based in Orangeville, north of Toronto. When we return, we'll talk a bit more about what they think. I mean, first of all, what did they think when they saw everyone else's houses? And what did they think gave them the edge here? We'll talk about that after this. Don't go away.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
To listen again, press 1.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
To listen again,
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
to listen.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
When you lose someone, the first thing you forget about them is their voice. With your help, we can prevent more lives from being silenced. MAD Canada. No alcohol, no drugs, no victims. Find out more at mad.ca.
Let's go!
Jeez.
So much flavor.
Yes.
It's time to get warmed up.
This is going to be one hell of a competition.
What did you guys make?
The winning meal.
Wow.
There's a party happening in my mouth.
I'm here and I'm hungry.
I love to cook.
Ooh, I was called a chef. I must be doing something right.
This spring, only on Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Think Turkey, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Fairplay Wild Bird Center is your one-stop shop for all things with wings. Did you know with warmer weather here, more birds are arriving, and they're creating greater competition for food? Having a variety of feeders and the correct food types will help attract different species of birds. Fairplay's Wild Bird Center has a vast array of feeders, plus a great selection of feed types available in a few sizes, including our bulk by-the-pound bins. Visit Fairplay Wild Bird Center, 2604 Kensington Road Northwest, or at fairplaywildbird.com.
Remember last summer's heat wave that had you wishing for refreshing air conditioning? Let Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services keep you cool this summer. Trust our expert techs and honest pricing to keep your home chilling when the summer is scorching. Ask about our best-selling Lennox models that offer optimal efficiency and cool, quiet comfort. Take advantage of Lennox's rebates up to $2,000 only for a limited time. You can count on Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services to do the job right and have your AC unit up and running in no time. The summer rush is coming. Don't wait. Visit FurnaceFamily.com to secure your spot today.
Hi, Andrew Schultz here. It's spring, or as I call it, Jiffy season, which means there's so much to do around my home. As if I don't have enough on my plate, my washing machine decided to quit mid-cycle. I opened the Jiffy app, and within seconds, I was paired with Mike, who showed up that day and had it fixed in no time. And when it comes to my spring to-do list, Jiffy is my go-to. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code QR25 for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, Canada's number one home maintenance app.
It's Gord Gillies for Home Instead. Speaking with Debbie Franchuk, RN and co-owner of Home Instead, she says when her clients finally discover Home Instead, they tell her, "The care you provide my parents is amazing. More people have to know what you do." It's no wonder why they refer Home Instead as the best kept secret. Now that you know the best kept secret, share it with your mom and dad. When your elderly loved one needs more care, choose Home Instead as your care partner. Visit HomeInsteadCalgary.com. Gord Gillies here for Len T. Wong and Associates. When you're looking to buy, with Len and your team, you start the search with confidence. Right from the beginning, he'll prioritize your needs. Maybe you're looking to downsize in retirement, or maybe your heart's on a starter home that's not out in the boonies. An experienced agent like Len will understand those needs, ensuring you find the home of your dreams. Len T. Wong and Associates from Greater Property Group, the city you love and the agents you trust. Call or text Len at 403-606-8888.
In times of crisis, Canadians support each other. The state of the advertising landscape in Canada is an emergency. Canada's ad market is increasingly dominated by billionaire-owned foreign tech companies. Instead of supporting Canadian jobs, communities, and local business, they spread misinformation, hate, and political interference. Let's keep ad dollars at home on radio and TV stations, websites, streaming, and news services that are Canadian-owned. It's time to buy Canadian. A message from QR Calgary.
You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Holly and Graham Laird are with us this half hour. They are the winners, the father and daughter duo, or the daughter and father duo, I should say, are the winners of Renovation Resort Season 2, which, of course, aired on the Home Network. The finale was this past Sunday into the May 2-4 long weekend, and you can catch up on this anytime on Stack TV. I guarantee you, just knowing the winner will not take away from the pleasure of actually watching the thing. Holly, I mean, you obviously got a chance to see everyone else's places afterwards. The one thing I did notice, and I don't think you can fake this in TV, and I think you probably learned that during the show, is the four teams seem to have a fair amount of affection for each other, which, considering it was a competition, seemed kind of nice and very natural.
Yes, it was very real. We really, really bonded over this experience. I think it's just one of those things that happens when you're in a really high pressure situation with only a couple people to kind of confide in that really understand what you're going through. And these six other people were just absolutely incredible humans, like so talented, so supportive, funny. Like, it was just such a blast spending time with them. So like, we were just so proud of them. Like, you could imagine the amount of work that it took to do what they did, and how incredible what they did in the time period, and how they did differently than we did. And it was just, it was really beautiful. So it was such an incredible experience meeting these other people.
Graham, it was interesting to see the other builders. Of course, for listeners to understand, there's a designer and a builder, and they both, I mean, they have to find ways to work together. One was a married couple from Philadelphia. Another one was, everyone knew each other to some extent. It was interesting to see Melissa and Shannon. Shannon, of course, was the first woman to ever be the builder on this show, and that was really cool as well. I think she did some fantastic work, and that's a nice message to send out to women who want to get it to follow in your footsteps, for instance.
Well, I would say to Shannon, if she's listening, down in Charlotte, North Carolina, you know what you're doing, girl. That girl had a lot of skill. She had a lot of talent. So she did it well in the sense that it is right to have more women come into this field. It's so, it would be so fantastic for that to occur. But at the same time, she showed women that you can be really good at this, because that woman was talented.
Yeah, it was. I mean, one thing that struck me too, there was different. I mean, they obviously set up a narrative, right? They need to set up some tension within the show. And one of the things they kept coming back to, Holly, in your case, was that you'd played it a bit safe. And yet, at the end of the day, when all was said and done, it'd be great if you could tell the story about the inspiration, because your grandmother's rug is an incredible place to start on building something. But you seem to have, what I thought after watching the show, is that you had a theme, and the theme and a focus, which is important in anything you're doing, and you never really veered off the theme, and at the end of the day it all came together.
So everything I did was based off of my grandmother's rug hooking that she did back in the 60s, and it's just a beautiful piece. She hand dyed all the wool and put it together herself, and she's just the most creative person I've ever known. And so to do this huge design project seemed like I needed a big inspiration for that, and this piece was that for me. I just connected with it so strongly my whole life. It's always been hanging in my grandparents' home. Mm-hmm. And so taking that as the color inspiration felt just really natural, and also just connected me to that. Our home was the heritage homestead. So just bringing in that heritage feel, making the home feel nostalgic, like somewhere you've been before, and just a true cottage, like a vacation home, but like that feel of a cottage where you're there, you've been there 100 times, you're going to keep coming back. It's where you go every year. The things on the wall have been there like for 50 years, and you just like, no one's going to move it. Just trying to create a feeling. And I think that piece brought that out in me. And I think that the word safe, it was something that made me a little angry during the show.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I think it was mostly because I couldn't see what everybody else was doing. So comparatively, being safe sounded like a bad word. But when I think about it, I feel like it's really more about the comfort. It's simple, but it's comforting and familiar. And I think that piece was like the perfect jumping off point to make that happen.
We were doing the interviews on every other day or so. We'd go for an interview, and I was able to pull the rug out and show it to her. I went to her grandfather's house, took it down off the wall,
right,
the interview, and I thought, here, you'd appreciate this.
Yeah, pretty much rocked my whole world.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit. Yeah, I mean, I guess, Graham, because this is your mother-in-law, right? This is your wife's mom. So you would have seen that carpet hanging on the wall, too, when you first met. I gather it's been hanging there forever, right?
It's been there forever, and I had a very close relationship with my mother-in-law. We both have a Scottish connection. Our last name was McLean, her maiden name was McLean.
Yeah.
And when we first met, we bonded over that fact. And I knew the woman for 40 years, so we were very close. We were very close. She was like a second mom to me. So when I hear the term mother-in-law, like cue the mother-in-law joke now, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it wasn't like that at all. She was a very important woman in my life.
Yeah, I mean, and to wrap it up, Holly, I mean, that's what struck me about the whole thing, is that it was inspired by your grandmother, and there you were with your dad working on this. There was something, there must have been something pretty special that you can't really describe, but there must be pretty special about going through this whole experience with that kind of family connection going on as you went through it.
Oh, yeah. It kind of was a really grounding thing, too, because anytime you felt like, oh, this is so hard, like, I can't do this, it's just like, well, like, we can do it, and we have such a good message, and it just feels so right. Like, it's just nice to have, like, such a focus and something to guide you to the end. Like, I'm doing this for my granny. I'm doing this with my dad. Like, my family is here with me, and it's just so much easier to know that, like, that is, it's such a comforting thought knowing that you have that guidance with you. And I think that having that piece as inspiration was just, it made the experience, like, you just got to push as hard as possible and make this happen, because this is more important than anything. It's just, we're doing it for our family. And that was,
and then the art piece you created at the end of the show as well.
Yeah. Being able to turn it into that and something that I created, like, it obviously doesn't look the same, but it's a reminiscent piece. And it's something that just sort of connected me with her. And
it's beautiful.
And we miss her. So it's just something to bring her back into our life and our conversations, and to do that together was really special.
Well, Holly and Graham, congratulations. Father-daughter teams, an inspiration to all parent-child teams out there. No matter how much they can bicker, they can get it done in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You got it.
Holly and Graham Lair, they are the winners of Renovation Resort Season 2, 100 grand plus bragging rights. Of course, four pairs up against each other for the best design of these vacation homes. These were new homes, so essentially this was a blank canvas for each team, and Slow and Steady won the race in this case. And it was great to watch a father-daughter team work together and how they figured it all out. Of course, there's a great story, the grandmother's carpet, that her late grandmother's, Graham's late mother-in-law, who had knitted this carpet, sort of made this carpet back in the 60s, and had always been part of their home, and something that was really inspiring to them, and they used that as sort of the template for everything they built in this place. It was a really sweet story as well. And you can watch it. You can watch the entire season anytime, streaming on Stack TV, Renovation Resort Season 2. Even though you know who won, I still recommend it. It'll still be fun to watch. When we return, the American dollar has been supreme for my entire lifetime. Could that be about to end?
AMG. Powerful, impressive, defining. It says a lot about you. Aspirational dream cars. At Lone Star Mercedes-Benz, they're on a clear out that you could only dream of. Until now, $50,000 off the model year 24 AMG GT 4-door, $50,000 off the model year 24 S63. You achieve goals, you earn nice things. At Lone Star, we do more than provide you with those. We make your dreams a reality.
Register today for the first annual Kindness Classic, a family-friendly golf tournament for all ages in support of Kids Up Front Calgary, September 7th at Blue Devil Golf Club. It'll be a day of fairways, families, and philanthropy. Everyone is invited to participate. Kids, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles can enjoy 9 holes of golf together while giving back to our community. To register or to become a sponsor, visit kidsupfrontcalgary.com.
More than a ticket.
Shoppers Foundation for Women's Health is challenging us all to ask, how many women have we lost because of a late diagnosis? How many women have been overlooked because so little research funding goes to women's health? How many women have felt unseen because they can't access proper care? Maybe even you. Health inequities are harming women. It's why we're working to improve access to equitable and inclusive care. It's time to make women's health visible. Get to know the facts at shoppersfoundation.ca.
Lux Windows was founded in 1969 with 5 people and a dream. 55 years later, our team of experts cares a whole lot about building and installing the best possible windows and doors. Because Lux is not just an Alberta-made product. We're one big Alberta-made family. Everything we are is windows and doors. A company born and bred and made in Alberta.
Hey, here's some drug impaired driving laws, simplified. If police suspect you're driving impaired by drugs, they have the tools to arrest you. First, a roadside test. And if you fail, further testing at the station, which can lead to your arrest and a criminal conviction for impaired driving. It's not just alcohol, it's drugs too. If you drive high, there will be consequences.
Let's keep our roads safe. A message from Matt Canada.
At Mountain View Sundecks, beautiful low-maintenance Sundecks are just the beginning. They're also experts in stairs, railings, gates, patios, privacy walls, pergolas, and benches. From design to completion, you can trust this 20-year locally owned family business to build the ultimate outdoor space for you.
No deposit is required, and you don't pay until the job is done.
See their dream decks at mountainviewsundecks.com and call for a quote today.
Heading to the airport soon?
Take the pain out of airport parking with Park2Go, offering hassle-free valet parking. Park2Go is your first-class airport parking experience. You can also have your vehicle detailed and serviced while you're away. And for some reason, your car won't start? They'll even give your vehicle a free boost to get you on your way. Visit park2go.ca and save 15% on parking by using promo code RADIO.
Let's go, girls.
QR Calgary welcomes Shania Twain to the Calgary Stampede on Saturday, July 5th.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Tickets are on sale now, but QR Calgary has your shot at scoring your way there.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me.
Listen to Morning Brew with Andrew or enter at QRCalgary.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shania this Calgary Stampede.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. There are mixed signals in Ukraine. Russia launched a new wave of attacks as the largest prisoner exchange since the start of the three-year-old war got underway Saturday. Reporter Ian Pennell is in London with the details.
This is the first wave of up to 1,000 Ukrainians and 1,000 Russians expected to be swapped over the weekend. It's the result of face-to-face meetings held last week. But meanwhile, Russia launching more attacks on Ukraine. President Trump expressing hope that this prisoner exchange could lead to, quote, something big. But the Kremlin saying there are no plans right now for another face-to-face meeting with Ukraine.
Ukraine's capital of Kyiv came under a large-scale combined drone and missile attack Saturday, with explosions and machine gun fire heard throughout the city. The new minority liberal government has a stack of crime and justice policies to implement.
Some included measures aimed to make it more difficult to get bail for those charged with violent car theft, home invasion, as well as some human trafficking and smuggling offenses. The Liberals also promised to create new criminal offenses involving intimidation at schools and places of worship, as well as online sexploitation. All the promises were made during a federal election campaign, which saw the Conservatives lean heavily on an anti-crime message. Rob Westgate, The Canadian Press.
The Blue Water District School Board in Ontario says the five people killed in a car crash Friday afternoon have been identified as high school students and a staff member. The board released a statement calling it a devastating loss for the school, local community, and the school board. He said the victims of the crash are four teenage girls and a 33-year-old man who were all traveling in the same SUV. Ontario Provincial Police say the SUV collided with a transport truck and then crashed into a second SUV at an intersection just outside of London, Ontario. The BC teen who spent weeks in hospital last year sick with avian flu is speaking out against the planned cull of 400 ostriches at a farm in BC's interior. Jocelyn, who visited the farm with her family Saturday, says her blood is still being drawn by doctors.